Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I'm your host, Paul Marks, and we have a great show with wonderful guests who are experts on today's topic. And today we're discussing the topic of creating community, giving back and supporting local efforts in multifamily. Joining me in the studio is longtime multifamily industry veteran Lori Lindley, president of MLDC Management, and Peter Remes, Vice President of Client Relations for South Texas with Apartment Life. Welcome, guys.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
So, Lori, tell us, you've been doing this a long time around the country. Tell us a little bit about what you feel is the definition of today's topic, creating community, giving back, and supporting local efforts in multifamily.
Well, I think that whenever you take over a community, wherever it's at, you need to utilize your resources that are there. And I think it's better for our residents, for our clients, if we just all kind of like work with what we have around us. And so an example of that, I took over a property this last year in Amarillo. And so the first thing I did is reached out to the Chamber of Commerce. And one of the things that we wanted to do is get the local things that were in that market. So we've created a game where the residents can go out and take a picture of themselves at the different landmarks and then submit it in. So that kind of gets your social media going, but finding out what that community has to offer. So one of the things this year that was really cool is the Humane Society. In the apartment industry, it's very sad. People tend to have animals that they leave at apartments or discard at apartments. Cats are a huge problem. And so most of our shelters are full and these animals are killed. So our client was gracious enough to waive pet fees and deposits to let people adopt through the Humane Society. Mm-hmm. So we partnered with the Humane Society, had them come out and did an event, and four animals were adopted. And then later, two other animals were adopted that week. So it's a huge way of, creating, people want those companion animals, but also helping the shelters where they're, they're full and at their capacity. But our team was actually able to go out and work for the day. And so when I say give back to the community, you need to find out what the community needs and provide resources for them. So whether it's a food bank, a toy drive, there's just so many different things you can do. School drive. We did a school drive, back to school effort, and we did really well. I was very surprised, and unfortunately, I don't think anybody had done that in the Amarillo market. So it was a huge success for us. We were able to give back to our residents first, and then everything was taken to the local school. And so we were able to help. And then Houston, of course, has a huge school drive effort. And I think they're a big part of what's collected here in the Houston market is based on what's done in apartments.
You know, when you were talking about the Humane Society and abandoned pets on properties, just yesterday I was at a C-class property, and there must have been 30 cats when I was walking around the property that I saw that didn't look like they belonged to anyone. I mean, they were just roaming around the property. I don't know if they were feral cats or if they were abandoned cats or whatever it is.
They're most likely feral.
Yeah.
Cats are the highest population that you deal with. On average for myself, I probably foster about 12 to 13 dogs a year because, they just land in my lap. Mm. They land in my daughter's lap. It's really unfortunate. But, finding those partners and working with them to help with pet population and educating your residents on how to care for the pets.
Yeah. Well, and we're going to talk about a lot of this in the following segments. But Peter, when it comes time to or comes down to creating this sense of community inside of a property, which sometimes it seems like, what's first, the chicken or the egg? Do you go create the community within the apartment in order to be able to then mobilize that energy and take it out into the community in general?
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about what your experience has been with that.
Well, you know, I think there's also a bigger social issue that we need to address with social media and the impact of social media. We really have a disconnected society, and I think it's really prevalent in apartment communities. Witten Associates did a national study a few years back, and I think it's even gotten worse since then, but it indicates that in apartment communities, 57% of apartment residents have zero friends living in the community that they live in. Mm-hmm. Basically, people they don't know their neighbors. So that's a huge issue, because the industry knows that a well-connected community is one that people stay longer. It's a safer community. It's a community that people will invite other people to come. So the referrals are great. And so it's a tremendous need, and obviously we think we have a solution to helping building apartment neighborhoods, and that's by placing neighbors there that actually model what it is to be a good neighbor. So it's a huge issue. I love your story about the Humane Society, because believe it or not, in apartment communities, my wife and I have done apartment life for 13 years. Dogs are a huge connector. I mean, we're out walking our dogs, and that's how we meet our neighbors. And so the fact that you took abandoned dogs and invited more people in kind of an altruistic, generous way of giving back, that is a win-win. Very exciting to hear that. So,
Lori, I know that as far as what Peter's company does, Apartment Life, you kind of have practiced that your entire work life. Talk a little bit about how you've helped to create that sense of community in properties during your early career.
Well, exactly. My first property that I was on, and I was telling Peter earlier, was my manager visited me with a loaf of hot bread my first day at the apartment. And that just had such a huge impact on me. Like, I just couldn't believe this hot bread. I went into the office and said, hey, if y'all ever need help. And the next thing I knew, I was hired. but I loved that part of my job, of being able to connect with the residents and being able to go out after hours. So I typically will go out after hours, after 6 and no later than 8:30, because I want to be respectful of people's time. And just knock on a door and introduce myself. Take hot bread. I mean, my kids grew up in the industry with me. I'll never forget my son, 2 years old, and he'd take the hot bread I baked and said, my mommy made you bread. I mean, how sweet is that? But it makes you more personable with the residents. Mm-hmm. And so they're more likely to renew, and they start talking to each other. And, this first community that I had, we had a peeping Tom, and it was terrible. Ooh. Like, he was like really invasive on our community. And I started a community watch. Mm-hmm. And, the police department's like, well, this isn't going to take off. It's an apartment community. 50% of my property was signed up on that community watch.
Wow.
And it got to the point when the predator would come out, people would open their doors and go, hey, the police are looking for you. They finally, we finally dissuaded him away from our community. But it takes educating residents. It's not one person's responsibility for safety in a community. As much as we would like to put that burden on the landlord, a lot of it is our own. Mm-hmm. We have to be mindful to lock our doors. Don't be careless. I can't tell you how many times people will come in and say, oh, they stole my wallet. Would you believe that the wallet was sitting in the car on the seat?
Wow.
I mean, I'm like, why don't you just put a big sign out there that says,
right.
Hey, it's here. These type of things that happen in the communities happen in residential neighborhoods too, where homes are.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So we as homeowners have learned to be proactive, and it's educating our residents to be proactive, and just getting to know your neighbor, who belongs, who doesn't, can make you better in your community.
We, the community, my wife and I served in Virginia Beach, once a quarter, we would actually have an event that was geared towards community safety. And we would have, local police come in and give a lecture, and because it was a high crime area. And it was amazing to just educate the residents of the simple things that they can do to make it a safer. And part of it is that creating community so we're watching out for each other. It's not just the property management team that frankly, they're not there 24/7. It really becomes the responsibility of the neighbors who are living there to really make it a safer neighborhood. So that's a great example of community building.
And when you teach the residents that it's okay to call the police, even if it's not going to solve the crime, it makes it easier for us as apartment managers if when we call the police and say, hey, we have a problem. We've had 5 car break-ins. If it's not reported, it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. But if it's reported and I demonstrate as a manager that we're following up and we're being proactive, they'll come out and send extra patrols. And a lot of times you can deter that crime away from your community by just having people involved and getting their voices heard with the police department.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Great. Well, we're going to take a break. We're going to be back with much more on this topic right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. EconServe has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call EconServe today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's EconServe at 713-662-3220.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Well, we're back and you're listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of creating community, giving back, and supporting local efforts in multifamily. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me in the studio is longtime multifamily industry veteran Lori Lindley, president of MLDC Management, and Peter Remes, vice president of client relations for South Texas with Apartment Life. Before we get back in the conversation, I do want to provide to let our listeners know, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, or listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Peter, we were talking about creating community inside of a multifamily property, which you and Apartment Life do all over the country and actually in Canada now, I think. But why is that important? What's important about creating community?
You know, Paul, just listening to the last segment and hearing Lori's story, someone that has so much experience in the industry working with some of the giants, and how community building is part of your DNA, it's part of everything you do. Now to hear that you've launched your own property management company with that as kind of being a core of your vision, I would like to turn that question over to Lori, because I think she's really the expert. She's been doing it for so many years.
Okay.
Well, I think what I wanted to share right now with giving back to the community, it's identifying what community efforts you want to give. And one of the services that we worked at Gray Star, which I've taken over here, is the PTSD Foundation of America at Camp Hope here in Houston. It helps our veterans with PTSD. We lose 22 a day to suicide. And then St. Jude's, of course, is huge. It costs $1 million a day for a child to go to St. Jude's. So without those monies that are collected, those services can't be available. And so as a supervisor, I was tasked with raising money for each property. One property in particular that I just dearly loved was in Thibodaux, Louisiana. And so they started with a community yard sale, and it grew over the years to where people would donate to this yard sale outside of our apartment community. And the Papa John's would let us advertise on their pizza boxes with a flyer the month leading up to the event. But that property was able to raise annually like $2,500 that they split between the two charities. And that's not a huge amount of money, but when you think about a company like Gray Star that manages 150 properties, $1,000 per property now becomes a huge effort. And so it's just a way of sharing those things. The PTSD Foundation is near and dear to my heart. And Gray Star really helped me run with that. And my son-in-law is a veteran from Camp Hope, so it's even closer to home. But collectively, I've raised over $60,000 for our veterans here in the Houston market. But to be able to share what that foundation is, even if you're not getting money from somebody to support it, you may be able to share. And I can't tell you how many people came from Thibodaux, Louisiana to Houston, where their veterans who were suffering with PTSD now have their life back because they found Camp Hope. And then when you, I had a property in Alexandria where one of my maintenance guy's children actually went to St. Jude's. And so when I got to hear about the little boy and how awesome St. Jude's is and the value of raising that money for that awesome foundation, it just really just helps you bring it home. You know what I mean?
Well, let me ask you this, and I'll pose this question to both of you. I mean, obviously, the good works of and the benefits of doing that for the charities is evident. What does it do for the apartment community? How does it affect the apartment community to go through something like that, to do a yard sale or, you know, whatever? Peter,
I got a great story.
Okay, all right.
My wife and I were serving in Denver about 11 years ago in a community in Highlands Ranch, just outside of Denver. And there was a man that I used to ski with who was a leukemia survivor. And another resident that we had become close with, she was coming to different events. She got diagnosed with leukemia during that time. And we introduced the two of them, and they started talking. And they actually came to us with the idea of doing an event to like a walkathon for leukemia. And we had, it wasn't a huge community. It was like 240 units. In our terms, that's not a huge community. Yes. 240 units. I think we had about 150 people that showed up to do that walk. And you want to talk about connecting a community, because it's for a greater good. It's not just about them. It's about something much bigger. And then just to kind of close the loop on the story, 10 years later, my wife got diagnosed with leukemia. And so we had to kind of go through the whole, chemotherapy and that whole process. She's in remission. And I would say, I'd like to attribute some of the funds that were raised for that went to the research that helped my wife be alive today. And so it just, it really does connect communities when you get them involved. As a matter of fact, when I do expectations meetings, when we're launching, one of the questions I'll normally ask is, hey, is there some type of a charitable event you would like your community to be involved in that we can plan on hosting as we look forward to the next year?
Laurie, and from a management standpoint, what does that, you know, the story Peter told about 150 people out of a 240-unit complex come out to support this charity, what are the benefits that management and ownership see from that?
Well, you know, it's the same thing. It's just connecting people. You never know the impact you're going to have.
Mm-hmm. But does it help with retention?
It does help with retention. Mm-hmm. It creates that sense of community where people are talking to each other. They get to know their neighbors. It was so fun to go to the Thibodeau property at any time because you just felt like you were home.
Right.
When I got there, residents would come in and cook for the team, or the team would be cooking with the residents, and they would have stories about what they did that week. And it was just incredible, the sense of community that you had. And we were so good in Thibodeau and didn't know it. I mean, I think when it hit home is the Lafourche Parish named us the top property to live in the parish.
Wow.
And we didn't even know that that was something to be recognized for. Mm-hmm. But it was just that, you know, people were talking and they felt at home. You know, when you came in and met the manager, and if your kid was going to Nichols College, you just felt good about where your kid was going to be.
Yeah.
You know, like Mama Bear was there. You know what I mean? Like you can't really say in apartment industry now that we are your mama, but we do feel like these are our families.
Right.
We spend a lot of time on site. So I spend more time with my multifamily people, and I want it to be something that's fulfilling for them, for the team members, for the residents. And when you can get those connects, it's life-changing. Taking over properties, I did REO for many years, and I've taken over properties where we were 100% infested with bed bugs. That's a horrible thing to go into.
Right.
And being able to get with those vendor partners, I had a couple that I will deny it, so I'm just denying this on public TV, radio. They were poor. They could not afford to replace their stuff. And so I went out and talked to a couple of our vendor partners and got them furniture.
Yeah.
And so I told them I didn't know where this furniture came from, mm-hmm. but to be able to replace a house full of furniture that was gently donated.
Mm-hmm.
And then every time I would go out there and I would get a hug. It says, you don't know what it's like to come home and not hurt because the bugs are no longer biting me. So to be able to change and give back the basics that people are paying rent for,
mm-hmm.
They should have the quality of life. You know, it doesn't matter what the rent price is. You should have the service that you're entitled to. And when you can go in and create that sense of community and change the dynamics and make it home for these people, they stay with us.
Yeah.
And most of the properties that I've been on have always been successful. And I contribute it to just coming back to that community. Get out there, go meet your residents, find out what they want, and find out what the community has to offer to where you can partner it up.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, it doesn't have to cost a lot of money, but it will help make the difference. It'll teach a young person what it's like to come home living on their own and not be careless.
Yeah.
You know, locking your door, knowing who your neighbor is. I love to have my courtesy officers do what we call like a checklist, you know, like a report card. Mm-hmm. Like, go out and grade me. And when I can send a letter to a resident that says, hey, we noticed you weren't home and your big screen TV looked really good. Shut your blinds. I mean, it's just that simple.
Sure.
And being able to do that, but it shows them that you care about their home. It helps them care about their home.
You know, just and also to add to the value of what it brings to a community, that story, that 150 people that showed up, all those people were not residents of the apartment community.
Mm-hmm.
Those were family and friends and, you know, people that the residents knew. So guess what? You had new people coming into the community, seeing what that community is doing, which it helps generate leasing traffic, right?
Absolutely.
Which is what the industry is all about, is generating leasing traffic. So it's not just what it does for that community, but what it does for the community beyond. That's also important.
And we're going to have to take a break. I do want to touch when we get back on everything in this industry is driven by numbers and budget and so forth. And to put a human aspect to it, I think is important. And that's what we're talking about today. We're going to be back after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Well, we're back and you're listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of creating community, giving back, and supporting local efforts in multifamily. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me in the studio is longtime multifamily industry veteran Lori Lindley, president of MLDC Management, and Peter Remes, vice president of client relations for South Texas with Apartment Life. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rasa Floors, the professional flooring advisor, specializing in make-ready replacement flooring for the multifamily industry throughout Texas and Oklahoma. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. WaterLogic, the smarter way to water, providing professional irrigation water management. And CTS, complete technology solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, Peter, we went into the break, and I wanted to pose the question or discuss in this segment the fact that everything in multifamily on a property is driven by numbers and budgets and so forth. And when you look at it from that standpoint, there's not a lot of human aspect involved. But when you're looking at what Apartment Life does, what Lori has done throughout her career of creating this sense of neighborhood and community on properties, it does affect the numbers. What do you know? Because I know you guys use a lot of research to be able to show your owners the benefits of creating community.
Well, Paul, we know that in the industry and national studies have shown that turnover cost is the highest cost that faces the industry. Typically, every time a unit turns, you're looking at a $3,000 to $5,000 cost, mostly due to loss of revenue for that vacant unit. Mm-hmm. And so, reducing turnover, improving your retention is critically important. And so we've always said that, community is important for building retention. But up until a couple of years ago, it was just, we kind of know that. We don't have any statistical data to back it up. Well, Witten Associates did a national study. We call it the friendship factor. And it pointed out that, again, I quoted the number, 57% of apartment residents have zero friends living in their apartment community. And if they have zero friends living in their apartment community, their intention to renew is about 25%. Mm. If they can get 5 to 7 friends within that apartment community, it jumps to 47%. And so just by creating friendships, people become invested in the apartment community, and you're giving them a reason to stay there and not move down the street for a $100 concession, right?
Right.
So community is critically important. It's always been difficult and hard to make a tangible financial statement, but with that recent study, it's clearly evident that building friends in an apartment community, having a culture of connectivity within that apartment community is great for the bottom line. Not good for the bottom line. It's great for the bottom line.
And just for the benefit of the listeners, how are we defining a friend in that example? Is it, it's not somebody you go on a vacation with necessarily.
No.
What is a friend?
Well, it starts to happen in the community. You start to see them doing life together, right? Mm-hmm. So we served a community here in Houston, and we had these, they never knew each other, but they got connected because they were both Asian and spoke limited English. And so they started doing play dates with their kids together. We had another, there were like four families that got together and did a 5K walk together with baby strollers and the whole bit. It wasn't anything that we organized. They did that on their own because they came to our event, they got connected, they saw common interests, and then they started doing life together with their neighbors living in the apartment community. So for me, that kind of defines, yeah, they're connected to each other.
I'm not going to overlook you. I just want to ask Peter one more question,
okay.
Lori.
Sure.
I know, Peter, you worked at a property you were telling me some time ago. I think it was on the East Coast.
Yeah.
And you were told when you went in there that nobody's ever going to be.
It was Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
And you want to talk about the most disconnected. it is so different than what we experience here in Texas. Literally, you have millennials who get on the elevator and they're looking at their cell phones and they will not talk to you. But we're that obnoxious couple that gets on the elevator and say, hey, how's your day doing, right? And initially, they won't even look up. But you keep doing it. You keep showing them that you're serious about it. And eventually, they look up. Eventually, they respond. And then over time, you see them doing it with each other. That's if you model what it is to be that neighbor and really care for each other, you watch that change over time.
And well, that ultimately is a financial benefit to the property.
Yeah, we wound up getting 150 people coming to our community events. Well, but in the beginning, it was difficult to break that ice.
Yeah, and most of the time, you won't see a huge presence. And it's just staying consistent and creating it. But, you know, the nice thing about what, you know, Peter does is it's showing the residents what you have within your community.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a nice swimming pool, creating, you know, a space where you can connect with people and you do get to know each mm-hmm. other. Kids do become friends. And you'll notice when somebody's missing or they're not attending. It's incredible when you can take that group and then you look out the next day and they're having a cookout at the barbecue grill on their own.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane. I had a property in Arizona that we didn't have a huge clubhouse, but we had a great pool area and we had barbecue grills and stuff out there. And it got to where people were connecting after our events together, and it was just growing. And it does make an impact financially. When you can, realistically, when you're writing a budget and you anticipate 50% of your people not renewing, that's a huge cost. But when you can come in at the end of the year and 75% of your people renewed, that's 25% of a cost that you no longer have.
Mm-hmm.
So it brings value. So
yeah.
when you can get passionate about loving your community and teaching your residents to love it like you do, great things can happen. And that's where good communities start.
One of the saddest sights in the industry is to go into one of these beautiful community centers and see nobody in there. And even like on a night last night when national championship was on, I'm wondering how many of these apartment communities had neighbors sitting watching the game together. That would be a good litmus test mm-hmm. in terms mm-hmm. of whether you have community or not. So
and just simple things. You know, one of the things that we did this summer with our Amarillo property was we did power play. We did 30 minutes every Thursday, and our team would go out and play with the kids. I mean, we had sidewalk chalk and jump ropes and bubbles and just 30 minutes of getting those kids together outside, and it connected them. But it was really fun. If we were running behind, the kids were like, hey, we're here, we're ready.
Mm-hmm.
It's something for them to look forward to. So if you're living in a community and it may not be a big deal, 30 minutes of play, but 30 minutes of play is something you would pay for at a Chuck E. Cheese. And we just provided it for you at no cost, and your kid was entertained. Mm-hmm. So, and it connected you with other parents.
Yeah, your kid was entertained and making friends.
So, and they were outside enjoying the community and seeing what the community has. And so many things can be brought together when you see what that community has to offer, whether it's a pet area. And if you don't have a jogging trail, that's okay. You can still mark off, if walking is important, you can walk that community. How many steps? Go out there and measure it out for them. They love that.
Yeah.
And connecting people with people that can walk together makes it a safer community.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. We got about a minute and a half left in this segment. You'd talked a little bit in a previous segment about the charities, the St. Jude's and different charities that you've been involved with, and that when you were tasked with having to try and get a certain amount of money raised, and you said you didn't really know how to do it, but I don't know that you ever said how you ended up doing it, and I'm sure our listeners would like to know if they had a charity they wanted to, how do they go about getting monies for their residents?
I think it's just educating your residents. One of the things that I do with the Camp Hope Foundation is for 1 month, I'll put out 22 flags a day. Get a vendor to sponsor you for your flags and then ask for a dollar donation. That's 690 flags that you're going to have out on your property at the end of the month.
Mm-hmm.
That's 690 veterans we just lost.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
That's monthly. Mm. I mean, it's huge. But creating that awareness, and that awareness is when you get people talking. And so it doesn't really matter what it is within your community. Find out what the community needs. We have a lot of communities that are lower income. Know what charities will help them when they can't pay their rent. Mm-hmm. We provide a list, resources of where they can go get help. Those are things that bring value, because if we can help them keep their rent paid, then we don't have the vacancy loss.
Yeah.
Sometimes people do need a hand up. I mean, just whatever you can do.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a break. We're going to be back. Peter, when we get back, I want to talk a little bit about, since Lori introduced the lower-income communities, I know that Apartment Life does reach out to different people in the community when they're working on a low-income community, and we'll talk a little bit about that when we come back. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rossa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rossa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rossa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rossafloors.com.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of creating community, giving back, and supporting local efforts in multifamily. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me in the studio is longtime multifamily industry veteran Lori Lindley, president of MLDC Management, and Peter Remes, Vice President of Client Relations for South Texas with Apartment Life. And in the last segment, at the end of the last segment, Lori had kind of introduced some of the things that she's done on affordable communities, on low-income communities. And I know, Peter, Apartment Life has a program where you guys will go into a community and help, maybe not put a team there, but help with scheduling things and finding different organizations within the community who can meet the needs of that community. Tell us about that.
Yeah. Well, actually, it's our roots. Going back 20 years ago, our first community was a C property. And yet, placing teams on the property and doing community events and concierge-type services, it doesn't really meet the need of what we would call lower-income or LURA properties, tax credit properties. You really have to address the social needs that are happening in that community. Resident retention isn't necessarily the issue. It's better living. It's just a better life. And so what we'll do is actually go in and assess the community, find out what the needs are. Is it after-school programming, English as a second language, financial counseling? What is it? And then we partner with local nonprofits to bring those services, so we're able to deliver a really great product at a much lower cost than if we were a for-profit organization, because we're relying on the resources that already exist in the community. So we can, you know, manage the whole LURA requirements for tax credit properties. And we are just launching it here in Houston. We now, I think, have 3 or 4 properties. We're kind of taking a slow growth, making sure we can deliver a quality product before opening it up to the general market. So far it's been extremely successful, and we piloted up in Dallas last year. It was very successful. We learned we had to grow slowly. We have to make sure that our product is good and that we have the kind of resources to deliver what the community needs.
And Lori, you had mentioned some of the things you were doing at your Amarillo property that I thought were very creative.
We were really proud of our book nook that we put up a couple of months ago. So basically it's just a little outdoor structure, so you can either leave a book or take a book. So it's to help with our, you know, reading with the children or even adults. Mm-hmm. And then we mirrored that and did a little food nook, so you can leave non-perishable food items in there, so you can take something or leave something. So you just never know. People are very proud. You don't always want to assume that they need something, but it's a nice way to be able to have something that's available there that they might actually could use. And we're seeing a positive response from it. And the community's great about keeping it full, you know, full. So, those kind of things have great value. And, you know, and again, just doing the back to the school supply drive, you know, being able to help, I don't know, maybe 25 families. School supplies are not cheap. And when you can help a family not have that cost going into the school year, they're going to remember that. And, you know, and again, coming around the holidays. So
sure.
Being able to just give back to that community and knowing what that community needs is really important.
It's really good.
You know, and when you were talking about the food nook that you created there, I would imagine that the closest local grocery store might be interested in doing something and donating canned goods or something.
Well, you know, there is a way to do that, and we have to continue to reach out. And those are the business partners that we're building out there. But again, you know, working with the Chamber of Commerce and the local apartment association there has been really helpful in helping us grow that community. Houston's very blessed. It is the best market to be in the multifamily industry. Mm-hmm. We have a great support system with the Houston Apartment Association, and we have a lot of management companies here that are strong, and we have good vendor partners. Mm-hmm. And these smaller markets don't have the vendor partners. So, you know, one of the things that we want to create is those relationships and getting it all secured, you know. So we start with our vendor partners at the Apartment Association and getting those in place and making that positive for the community. And then you get your vendors to give back. I don't know if you guys realize, but the vendors here in Houston do a lot for our community as far as supporting different Habitat for Humanity. Mm-hmm. They give a lot back to the community, and it was actually one of our vendor partners that built our Nook. Wow. For our book.
Wow, so, that's so
and
cool.
They're excited to do that. They yeah. have those kind of resources.
Yeah. Lori, can we steal that idea?
I absolutely
love that idea.
When we can get our kids reading at such a young age and have a resource for them to have books, I think it just grows a better community.
It sure does. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Lori, you know, since MLDC is a fee management company, you have different owners that you work for.
Yes.
You have some owners that I imagine see value in what we're talking about today. And maybe there's some owners, maybe not yours, but maybe there's some owners that just say, look, we got a budget, let's stick by the budget. We're not interested in these things. Maybe I'm wrong, but do you have to do a lot of convincing to get ownership on board with things like this?
You know, it's really interesting that you say that. We do encourage our clients to allocate a certain dollar amount. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times they will. And particularly the Thibodeau site, the client was not interested in supporting our charities, is what he called it. Mm-hmm. So he got value out of that garage sale because mm-hmm. it brought people to that community. But we had to create that on our own. And you can do that. So you can create something with nothing by just having those conversations and getting those vendor partners with you to get things going. Mm-hmm. And then it will become its own thing. So you can make it work. If you have a client that is not as encouraging to give you that, you can still, as a community, find ways to create that sense of community that doesn't cost a lot of money mm-hmm. and doesn't impact them financially. But their value is that they're going to benefit from the community yeah. that you, as a management company or someone like Peter, has been able to bring. It's huge.
You, after they experience it, we have several of ownership groups who are now, it's part of their investment strategy. They actually have it as part of their PowerPoint presentations when they're presenting to potential investors, because they know that community adds to the bottom line. And so once they experience it, it's getting them to experience the value of community that's always the challenge.
Yeah, there's I'll never forget when I first started out years ago, I had a property in Arizona, and it was our annual pig roast. And we actually had to build the smoker, the whole bit. Anyway, so it was the night of the event, and my supervisors came in, ownership came in, and we had 200 people in the parking lot in line waiting to get into the pool area for this event. And they're like, there's a lot of people here. And I said, I tried to tell you guys that they show up.
Mm-hmm.
You
right.
know, if you just create something and stay consistent, they will show up, and they love it.
Yeah.
They, you know, find the things that they're interested in and make it happen for them.
Take about 30 seconds, Lori, and I guess talk about how you get your on-site teams to share the vision that you have when it comes to this community.
Well, I think you have to give them ownership of it. Mm-hmm. You've got to let them bring their own ideas and let their best self come forward. So what works for me is not going to work for my manager. I need to find out what her passion is and how to take that passion and bring it into the community. And I've been so blessed with such great teams that have trusted us to just take the lead and do these things. And they have made such a difference in their community. And they're having fun doing it. Mm-hmm. I mean, what they called me after they went to the Humane Society and worked for the day. They're like, oh my gosh, I had no idea what the need was. And being able, they feel like they're important. And so when they get to participate with something that's bigger than themselves, I think, and then when you get the feedback from the residents, I always tell my teams, we take a lot of flack in the leasing position. You know, you're going to get beat up a lot, but mm-hmm. that's our jobs. So if we can learn to let people just come in and vent where they're safe person, 99% of the time they'll come back and apologize for being mean to you and bring you a goodie. But, you know, make it a safe place for them to come and be able to communicate with you and open that line of communication. So just teaching them how to communicate, and ideas just spring. There's things that have come to life that mm-hmm. I could have never envisioned, but letting somebody organically develop it on their own, okay. they'll surprise you with some cool ideas.
All right. Well, we We got about a minute or so each. I'd like to give to both of you to tell a little bit about how you got started and about your company. And if someone wanted to reach you to find out more, how they can do that. Peter, you want to start?
Yeah, so it was 14 years ago. I was transitioning from a corporate position into nonprofit work, and you took a significant decrease in income, and mm-hmm. someone introduced me to apartment life. My wife and I were a team, and not only did we save significantly on rent and were able to meet our obligations, we also saved enough money over the 3 years we served to put a down payment on a house in Denver. So plus it introduced us to the apartment industry, which we've been in now, you know, for 14 years. I keep coming back to it. We talked about it. Once you get a taste of it, you keep coming back to multifamily. So best way to reach, if you have any questions, is just go to apartmentlife.org, and there's a way to contact us. And if you're in the Houston market or San Antonio, I'd love to talk to you.
Okay, great. Lori?
Well, I've been doing this for 31 years. Started out leasing. Have worked for some really good companies, I think, that have helped me develop. My kids have decided to join me in the industry. I have two amazing mm-hmm. kids. One is in the renovations vendor side, and then I have one that is working with me at MLDC. So just being able to continue with something that is passionate to us and provide a service. We took the leap of faith. We've been open for about a year now, and we have four properties. So if you are looking for a good management company, MLDC is someone to seriously consider. Mm-hmm. And we have our website, mldcmanagement.com, and we would love to talk to you. And if you just need advice or anything, just reach out to us. We love to share our stories, and we'll encourage you and whatever we can do. We want to be a part of this industry, and we're proud to be a part of the Houston market and serve here in Texas.
Well, I know both of your kids, and you certainly have the beginnings of a dynasty in the apartment business.
It's really fun, because it was years ago when they first started. I was pretty important, I thought, at one time, but I'm no longer Lori Lindley, whoever. Yeah. I'm David's mom.
That's right.
Or I'm Courtney's mom, which is, you know, as a parent, you can't ask for better. So.
Well, thank you guys so much for being on today. We had a great show. We're going to be back next Saturday with another wonderful episode of Multifamily Matters. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.